Track 10, A Gift to the Future. To mark Norfolk Wildlife Trust's centenary, 100 oak saplings grown from acorns collected in Foxley Wood are being planted around the county.
Every couple of months, I visit Bewick House, Norfolk Wildlife Trust's handsome Victorian headquarters on Thorpe Road, opposite Norwich Railway Station. I always go by bus. This means a 26-minute walk from my village to the nearest town, then an hour and 20 minutes on the bus before walking to the office. I catch the bus at 6:20 in the morning, or the one just after 7. I love it. Not because I am a bus aficionado, mind. Far from it. But for the freedom it bestows to watch, to listen, and to think in the bus. In the bus, my mind can roam across the landscape, asking questions of the fields, the cottages, and the trees. Yes, most of all the trees. Always lovable. Trees are at their easiest to love in winter. From the early morning bus, I see the sunrise interpreted by the trees. Winter naked, they reveal the secrets of their trunks and limbs against the gold arrival of the day. Oaks are the most numerous standard trees in hedges between fields. Their trunks are thick and deeply creased, but it is their branches that enchant me. Their lowest, heaviest boughs are crookedly horizontal, as though yearning to stretch across the fields. Above them, the next layer of branches reaches slightly upwards, the angle growing steeper toward the crown. Every branch is thickly clad with brittle twigs. These are clustered near the tips, forming bristling hands worthy of a villain in a fairy tale. There are birches on my journey too, where long-gone ice sheets have left beds of sand. A birch is the antithesis of an oak. A birch's trunk is slim and vertical. Its branches are often almost vertical too, quite unlike an oak's. Its twigs are fine and springy, pulled downwards by their own small weight. Against the daybreak winter sun, they make a delicate filigree that is utterly distinctive from my bus. Alders grow along the river and in muddy meadows. Their trunks are slim and straight, like birches, and their horizontal boughs are slight. However, having held their seed cones from last summer, alders look dense and black and somehow menacing. Near them, along a stretch of river loved by swans, crack willows grow. A crack willow is a slow-mo Sisyphus. Its broad, splayed trunks reach hopefully from the riverbank to the sun, but they are doomed to fall. Too heavy for itself, each bough will split, collapsing, still attached, toward the mud below, twisting the tree into a tortured living sculpture. Monument to its frustrated dream to stroke the sky, a crack willow is beautiful. All these trees and others, ashes, hornbeams, cherries, charm me through the steamed-up window of my bus. Even once I reach the city, there are many trees. I walk to the river by the cathedral. Beeches and birches crowd around the Duke of Wellington, and a strawberry tree peaks across the flint wall by the dark entry to the cloister. In the tiny car park behind Bewick House, there is a hedge of small-leaved elms, tangled and corky-barked and unmistakable. Before my first meeting of the day, I have been entertained for 2 hours by the silhouettes of winter trees. Trees heal us, simply by their being. Without our realizing, they gave the landscape shape, adding a verticality otherwise largely absent in East Anglia. They are the third D in 3D. Trees add time to landscape too. Not long ago, I visited the farmyard where my beloved grandmother grew up in the 1920s. Seeing an oak around 200 years of age, I placed my hand on it, knowing that my wayward grandmother, always outdoors, always on some adventure, probably climbed it as a girl, and certainly chased her sister round it. Across a century, we were reunited by an oak. Trees are not only beautiful and meaningful, of course. They, quite literally, give us life. While other living and non-living things, seas and soils most notably, store more carbon or produce more oxygen, Trees are the embodiment of photosynthesis in the landscapes we inhabit. They remind us, if we only stop to think, that nature makes the habitable environment required for human ingenuity, happiness, and life. Yet we rarely notice trees and almost never thank them. Most of us, that is. A couple of years ago, thinking ahead to Norfolk Wildlife Trust's centenary in 2026, I quipped to our president, Patrick Barkham, how wonderful it would be to plant 100 centenary oaks grown from acorns collected in our ancient woods. Quietly, lovingly, with no fuss nor need for recognition, Patrick gathered countless acorns from Foxley Wood and planted them. 2 years later, he has a forest of seedling oaks, each from an ancient Foxley parent. They will be planted over this centenary year in a park or at a school or on a NWT reserve. And they will grow as living memorials to 100 years of action for nature across our county. Who knows what public transport will look like a century from now? Who knows whether paper magazines will still be published? But I dare to hope that in 100 years, a nature correspondent writing for Norfolk Magazine will look through the steamed-up window of an electric bus and see a strong young oak grown from seed by Patrick planted in 2026. Seeing its round and rugged trunk, its leafless winter boughs, its jagged hands, they may perhaps be moved to write about the constancy of trees, their beauty, how they give us hope. Perhaps for its 200th anniversary, Norfolk Wildlife Trust may once again be planting trees, preserving nature from a distant past, gifting to the future. For this is what we do.